following is a Furnish Brothers production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talkin' Buds Podcast.
It is the Talkin' Buds Podcast.
It's the Talkin' Buds Podcast, folks.
Talkin' Buds Podcast. Season 2, Talkin' Buds Podcast. Let's go.
All he's got to do is get in the weight room, and oh, baby, he'll be a good pro in no time.
Good pro.
Stinks. Absolutely stinks.
Stanley Cup? How about let's just win a round?
What a dummy. You just know that Babs was looking to see if there was any gas left in the tank of that good pro.
This is the Talking Buds Podcast. And now, here's your host, Rob and Ryan.
You know, Ry, we said last week that we'd love nothing more than to come on here and be positive and just be like, this team is on fire. They're unstoppable. They're a machine. They're a force. But I gotta tell you, you know, when you're doing a weekly show and the season is this long, it's much easier to do show prep and come up with things to talk about when the team has lost 4 of their last 5, 6 of their last 8.
Yeah, and it's like the games now are just, I'm not dreading them because obviously I love this hockey team and I love hockey and I love watching it, but it's like it's so predictable now. Like I'm sitting at home yesterday and I'm like, okay, they're playing the Capitals tonight. Either they come out, they're big boys, they finally play the way we want them to play, or they come out and play the same way they've played all season. And they did exactly the second option. Even though they fought back a little bit, but a loss is a loss. And I feel like a lot of this fan base is at a loss for words right now.
Okay, so since we last spoke, quick rundown. The Leafs defeated the San Jose Sharks last Friday by a score of 4-1. The San Jose Sharks are horrendous. They're an awful, awful hockey team. Followed that up with a 5-2 loss to the Montreal Canadiens on Hockey Night in Canada in what was probably the most frustrating game of the season.
Horrible.
Yeah, that and the Tampa game a couple weeks ago were probably the two most frustrating games of the season. Yeah. And then on Tuesday night, they lost 4-3 in overtime to the Washington Capitals. A game in which I thought they were okay in the first period. I thought they were awful in the second period. And then I thought that they picked it up and probably played one of their best periods of the season in the third. But as you just said, couldn't come up with the W, losing it overtime. Alex Ovechkin getting the game winner in overtime. And Ryan, let's start there. The talk of the day yesterday was the comments made by Ovi. Ovi before the game saying, quote, "For them, they're still a young group of guys. I hope they're going to learn, but it's up to them how they want to do it. If they want to play for themselves or if they want to win a Stanley Cup, they have to play differently." Ryan, I can't tell you how much I love this. I wish I could. I wish you have no idea how much I love this. Before we deep dive, what were your thoughts on Ovi's comments?
I'm surprised that he was even like that honest speaking about another hockey team. Like that was what surprised me the most right off the bat. But if this was Joe Schmo on the third line of the Washington Capitals, I don't think anybody would really care or the comments would have been taken differently. But when one of the greatest goal scorers of all time calls out the team from the other side.
I know, it's fantastic. I was I was over the moon when I saw these comments, Ryan.
Should Ovi be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I think
because
I
what
think
other
should.
Maple Leaf player has come out and said anything like that, and it's like had that much impact and meaning? It's like throw the Leaf C on Ovi too while you're at it.
And he's like the perfect guy to say it because, and there's been a lot of people who I've seen who've been like, oh, coming from a guy who still doesn't play the best 200 foot game.
Shut
it's
up.
Like, that's not the point.
Shut up.
I know.
Don't I do know, that 200 foot game stuff. The guy throws hits after hits yep. after hits.
And he didn't. He won his cup.
One-timer of the centuries. The most dangerous power play player in the history of the game.
I don't know who liked Ovi's comments more, me or Mike Babcock.
Probably Mike Babcock. Oh. Probably Mike Babcock. That would be an easy one for me, bud.
He couldn't help himself. He was just like, well, he's done it. He's been there. And it's just, it means so much more. Like, you could tell the guys were annoyed being asked about it yesterday and then being asked about it again after the game, especially after he's the one who goes out and gets the OT winner. It's like, good. I'm glad you're annoyed. You need something that's going to piss you guys off, something that's going to light a fire under you. And clearly, like, I get it. Like, Babcock saying that type of stuff, it's like your dad hassling you about something. Like, you tune him out after a while. But when it's one of your peers... And not only one of your peers, like one
an
of the
idol,
greatest goal scorer
model in yeah. this league.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest goal scorer of his generation comes out and says what we're all thinking and saying that, like, this is a team of individuals. This is a group of young, hotshot superstar players who haven't figured out that you have to change the way you play and the style in which you play if you want to go deep in the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup. Oh, my God, Ryan. We shared it on our Instagram. If you haven't seen it, go to our Instagram. We shared Tim and Sid's video of it. Oh my God, Ryan. I was giddy after that comment. I was like, good, this better piss all you guys off.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are being like, that should be your voice that you should use to push forward this season. And then there's the other half of people who are like, oh, I guess we got to wait till we're 30. Austin Matthews is 30 to win a Stanley Cup. Because that's what Ovi did, right? If Ovi's comments mean so much and he did it that way, then I guess we got to wait till all the guys are in their 30s to win a cup. And it's like, that's motivation. A lot of those guys grew up watching Ovi play in this league, score a lot of goals, be the most dangerous goal scorer maybe ever. And when he's saying that to you guys directly, like, come on. Like, that's got to be the biggest wake-up call in that room. Because I know if I was in that room and I heard Ovi say that, I would be a little puzzled at first, but then I'd be fired up that night to go after him.
And he put the exclamation mark on it by getting the winning goal in overtime, Ryan. Standing in his favorite spot
legend,
and just
man.
Wires
yeah,
one past
there's
Freddie.
There's no two ways about it. Get over the Ovi that you saw 7-10 years ago and get used to the new mature Ovi who's a beast and calls out other hockey teams and media scrums and says the absolute truth.
And Babs, you know, Babs is asked about it after the game, and he's just going on about how, you know, Ovi's right, and he's done it, he's lived it, and it's about just saying all the typical Babs lines about how it's the 2 points in the game, not your own, the 2 points that you get for yourselves, or however many points you get for yourselves in the game. But he said one thing that I saw people were upset about after the fact. He said, the bottom line, you got to keep it out of your net. You're not outscoring anyone at playoff time. You're out defending them. How do you feel about that?
Well, how I feel about that is there's a couple things we know about this hockey team, and there's a couple things that we speculate. The number one thing that we know about this Maple Leaf hockey team is they give up a lot of shots in their own net, and they give up a lot of goals. So that's not wrong. This team gives up so many goals against and so many shots against.
Right now, they're 23rd in the league in shots on goal,
sure,
and 23rd in the league in goals allowed.
That's one thing we know about this hockey team. They can't defend. They can't defend defensively back there on the D, and they can't defend with their forwards in their own zone. And they give up a lot of shots, and they spend a lot of time in their own end. Like, that's the facts with this hockey team.
All right, I want to shift gears a little bit now, and I want to talk about one guy in particular, and that is Mitch Marner. if you look at Mitch Marner's stats so far, 16 points, 3 goals, 13 assists, and you're like, okay, that's not bad, right? That's pretty good. Those numbers are pretty good thus far. But he doesn't look right, Ryan. And he takes the dumb penalty in overtime last night, which eventually cost him the game, just like right before they were finished killing off the first Nylander penalty. And it's just, are you buying into the narrative that he's squeezing the stick a little too hard because of the summer he had with the contract and the fans being really upset? Like, do you think he's in his own head for that reason?
Well, are we, well, the first question I have to ask to that is, are we looking at him differently because of the summer he had and because of his new contract? If he was still on that 975 entry level max for those 3 years and he was doing this, would the pressure still be just as bad? I have no idea. You look at his...
I'm going to say yeah, no.
You look at his stats. He's a point-a-game hockey player, a little above it. He's got 16 points in 14 games. His 5-on-5 production is not great. He's been okay on the power play, and he's really dangerous on the penalty kill. But I think it's the contract, and from just watching the games this year through 14, his bulldog mentality that I mentioned before the season... that I brought up, that you're never going to question Mitch's effort. I'm starting to question some of his defensive effort so far this year. And you don't want skilled guys like that to just focus on defense. Like, Mitch Marner is there at the end of the day to provide points for this hockey team. But if you're watching them game in, game out, you're starting to see that his kind of defensive side that you thought was kind of solid isn't that great. And if you're not producing 5-on-5, then that's not really going to help. And I know Johnny T's injured as well, and you're starting to kind of see that maybe if Johnny had time to get going before the injury, then they'd be at a different point with that line right now. Maybe they'd have more points, well, be more productive.
Babs did a media scrum today, and he talked about how, you know, Mitch hasn't played with his regular line mates, Hyman and Tavares, all year. And it's like, that's true. But all I heard all summer is that Mitch is the motor that makes that line go. And especially, like, he's struggled all year. But especially since Tavares has been out, he looks lost. And he, we'll get into the team toughness, heart discussion in a bit. But he's also a guy who really benefits from having Hyman on that line, because Hyman will actually go in the corner and get the puck back. And... I'm 100% bought into the narrative that he is in his head about the contract, and people have him under a microscope because I think there's still a huge contingent of the fan base, myself included, Ryan, that resents that he's making that money. Like,
absolutely.
That's not his fault. That's not his fault. We'll talk about whose fault it is a little later, but that's not his fault. And he needs to, I don't know if he's got to talk to some sort of like therapist or something, some
sports trainer or whatever.
Sports psychologist. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. I don't know if he's got to talk to someone to like, because listen, at the end of the day, that's the contract you were offered. Any one of us would have signed it. And it's just go out there and be Mitch. Relax. Stop trying too hard. Stop squeezing the stick too hard. Stop trying to make too much happen. Stop freaking out and taking dumb penalties in overtime. Just relax, Mitch. Relax.
Yeah,
relax.
I think this whole year is just so magnified because of all these contracts and all the new expectations on this hockey team. This year, 14 games in, they have 15 points. Last year, 14 games in, they had 18 points. So it's really not that big of a difference. And the year before that, they had 16 points through 14 games. So it's,
but I think it's the, but it's just the way the team,
I know,
looks,
it's
Ryan.
Just the, yeah. It's the year after year watching this team, knowing their weaknesses, knowing how other teams have to play to beat this team. And as soon as you sniff that out, like the Capitals coming out, being physical, you just know it's over. They're not going to win. And if they're going to win, then it's just one of those nights in the NHL where any team could beat any team. But at the end of the day, if they were going to play this Capitals team in a playoff series, they're not winning. So I think this whole year is just so magnified because the expectations went up a whole nother level.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode of the show. If you like the show and want to support us, give us a follow on Instagram at Talkin' Buds Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We really appreciate all your support. Thank you.
Now, let's get back to the Toronto Maple Leaf Podcast for all the buds. This is the Talking Buds Podcast.
Ryan, if you go back through the archives of the Talking Buds Podcast, the 38 episodes we've done plus the postseason pints, unquestionably the number one person in this organization who has taken the most heat from both of us is Mike Babcock. I'd like to switch gears on this episode, and I'd like to focus, like, there's been a lot of talk about this team as a whole, the way they're constructed, the effort, like, is it the right mix of guys? And so I'd like to focus on the general manager, Kyle Dubas. Ryan, I'm starting to believe that Kyle Dubas's philosophy when it comes to building this team and what, and for the record, I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying I'm starting to believe, and these thoughts have started to creep. Listen, when they told Mark Hunter thanks but no thanks and hired Kyle Dubas full-time 2 years ago, I was 1,000% on board. I was like, this is the right decision. The game is going in a different direction. Let's not bring another old boy in here from the old boys club. Like, let's get some fresh blood in here. But after having watched this team to start the season, Ryan, intangibles are important. Character guys are important. Gritty guys are important. And I don't believe that Kyle Dubas feels that way. I think he's very new school. He's analytics through and through. He's puck possession. He's zone entry. But the problem is like, you've built this team full of star players who theoretically should possess the puck, but you have to go get the puck. And there's, I don't know, like, do you know where I'm going with this? Like, can you sense where I'm going with this?
The past couple episodes, we've been arguing, debating over who deserves the most blame from this hockey team's performance so far. Is it the coach? Is it the players? Is it the general manager? And I feel like, without saying it, we've kind of leaned towards more the players and the coach so far. But after this little stretch, especially after Saturday, that was awful. That was terrible to watch. Embarrassing. I don't want to flip-flop every week we get on here, but now it's kind of like, okay, it looks like they're all sharing an equal piece of the pie here.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. It's like, this is a mess. And you know why it's a mess? Because there's blame to go around. Like, it's not a mess in the sense that, like, you're right, they're 6-5-3. That's not awful. They're still very much alive. They're third place in their division. They're okay, but it's just when you watch them, Ryan, like, they're not fun to watch.
No.
They're frustrating.
And this brings me back to what we talked about in the previous block. It's, look at the Boston Bruins. They're the best team in the National Hockey League. They have the most dangerous first line in the NHL. Look at what those guys are making. Not to beat a dead horse. And then look what the Maple Leafs top guys are making. And it's like this, it's, you can't avoid it. You can just be like, oh, whatever, the players make what they make. They all got a good deal for themselves, whatever. We'll try to fit around them. But you can't get over it. You can't get over it. They're not good enough. And they have no room to add anybody or do anything.
Yeah, and that's where, like,
and
right,
Kyle
Dubas
created,
like,
that to what you started with that point. So now it's like you're kind of looking at him being like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. They can't, like, how much would you love to have a guy like Tom Wilson in a
absolutely
league
uniform? 100%.
Yeah. And even if they wanted to go and get a guy like him,
no,
they can't. And it's like, you and I have been in the minority in that we've defended Michael Hutchison on this show a lot, but, like, they can't even go get a replacement backup goalie because they don't have enough money.
No, and I was watching a game with a couple of my buddies on Saturday, and so far this season I've been a little bit of a Hutchison apologist, but my buddy brought up a good point. He's like, this guy hasn't made a big save all year, which I can kind of see. But go back and look at how many shots this guy's seen so far this year. Like, whoa, whoa. You want a better guy to what you just said? Can't get him. Can't get him.
Like, a lot of people are going to disagree with us, but, like, I just don't think you need Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Kapanen, Janssen. Like, all of those
players. All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Like, there's no, and not a whole lot of experience. Like, sure, Tavares is older, but, like, how far has Tavares got in the postseason? The second round?
Once.
Like, yeah, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, intangibles are important. Having a guy who will go out there and get in somebody's face, like, as much as I hate him, like, having a little pest like a Max Domi to go out there and get in somebody's face and do something is, like, it's important. And the thing that it's starting to worry me is Kyle Dubas doesn't believe that. Like, he does not believe in that type of player. He does not believe in that way to win games. And I don't think he thinks it's important. Like,
well, I would love to get him in a, like, most candid conversation right now, because I'm so, one thing we know about the NHL, and Mike Babcock displays it every day, not every guy is stubborn. But a lot of these guys are so stubborn in their mentality. And I think Kyle Dubas still, if you were to sit him down and have a candid conversation, he would still 100% believe that having a skilled hockey team, a very, very skilled, focused hockey team, is the way you're going to get it done in this league. And so far,
I just don't understand how it's not going to happen. I just don't understand how you can watch your team get pushed around night after night after night and still think
that. But this is what's concerning to me this season. This is the biggest concern for me. Teams they've beaten this season: Ottawa, Columbus, Detroit, Minnesota, San Jose, and the Bruins. And they beat the Bruins, but they got dummied that game, and they were lucky to win that. Teams they've lost to: Montreal twice, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, Washington twice, Columbus, and Boston. Look at those teams they've lost to. They have lost to all teams that are going to bring it somewhat physically, are pretty good hockey teams, all in a playoff picture. And in those games, it hasn't looked that great. And that's what concerns me. Look at the teams they've beaten. The dumpster of the NHL. The dumpster. Horrible hockey teams. Like, ugh. Like, yeah. It's just, I look at that and it's like, this is why. There's two ways to look at this. There's the one side where it's, you look at the statistics, you look at the 5-on-5 power play penalty kill, everything that's going on, and you kind of say, well, if they do this better, this better, this better, they should start winning hockey games. And then there's the other side of the fan base that are just hot take city and are already declaring that this group of hockey players will not work together and they will not win anything.
And it's somewhere in the
middle. Yeah, and it is. And we've kind of gone to a place where it's like hot take. Like, this is not going to work. We've already referenced it a couple times. You named Matthews, Marner, Janssen, all those guys out of the same mold. So we're kind of already in that camp. But I know if the Leafs start capitalizing on their power play that's awful right now and start getting a little more production out of the Marner line 5-on-5, then that should produce more wins out of this hockey team. It just seems so bad right now for some reason.
But Ryan, I'm at the point where, like, and you, out of the two of us, you've been the harder one on this team than me. But, like, I'm at the point that, like, is this team, are they better than 6-5-3? Yes. Do I think they're winning a Stanley Cup with this roster as it's currently constructive? No. I don't think they're good enough.
Yeah, and I don't want to be too hot. Like, the reason why I like doing the pod this week is usually we hop on right after a game, and when they come off a horrible loss, most of the game, what game have we come on where they've won? Like, I feel like most of the game, I can't even remember. But,
oh, geez, let's look, yeah, let's take a look back here. What game did we come on? That's a loss. We came on after Boston. The game they lost to Boston, we came on the first time they lost to Tampa. We came on after they lost to St. Louis. The first game of the season when they beat Ottawa. That's the only time we've come on here after a W so far this season.
One of the worst teams in the league, so we took that for what it was. But we're so negative this year because we're hopping on every time they lose a game, and it's just you're so frustrated, and you're down, and you're negative after those losses. But I'm excited to do it this week because it's a day after they lose to the Capitals. And I've had time to think about it. I don't want to be too hot takey.
I don't think I would have been that negative if we were on last night after the Caps game, Ryan, because I thought they had some good pushback in the third period, and I thought they played well. I thought the third period of the game last night was their best period of the season, and that if they want, like, the team that I just said is better than 6-5-3, that's the team that played in the third period last night.
Yeah, but what concerns me about the game last night, it's like they might have had good pushback. But at the end of the day, if they were ready to go and if they were a legit team in this league that's going to compete for a cup, they would have won that game. They would have won that game. They would have won all the games they've been close to. Well, not all the games, but there's a couple games this season where they could have pulled it out, but they haven't. And they've lost to good teams that are better than them. And it's discouraging. And it's hard to not be hot takey and say, well, the season's over. Because we just don't have the group of guys. And then there's the...
I don't think the season's over. I just, like, the reason why I kind of want to let Babcock off the hook for all this is because I don't think having Sheldon Keefe behind the bench is going to make Austin Matthews want to go in a corner and win a puck battle. Like, I think that the issues with the team with respect to, like, effort and pushback and intensity and heart, whatever you want to call it, they're not Babcock related. It's like, it doesn't matter who's behind the bench. This is a soft hockey team that is going to get pushed around by a team that you don't think that Tom Wilson knows last night, all you got to do is go out there and run at a couple of these guys and then that's it. They'll shut it right down.
It's the MO league now. It's the MO for the league. It's listen to the broadcast on Sportsnet or TSN. What do you think they're going to do tonight? Oh, well, they're going to come in and they're going to hit early and they're going to get after the Leafs on the forecheck. And that's the book on this team. And I don't like how there's a book on this team. Like, why does every hockey team know how to beat this hockey team? Like, that's not a good thing.
Which is, again, brings me back to my point. I don't know how, if you're Kyle Dubas, you can sit up and watch night after night after night and not see this. And a lot of people would say, you know, I mentioned the Babcock quote earlier where he said, you're not going to outscore teams in the playoffs, you're going to out-defend. And one of the things that made people so upset last night is like, this is the problem with him. You have the most offensively gifted team in the league and you're trying to teach them how to defend. And it's like, they're terrible at defending.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're not going to go into the playoffs and win games. Rarely in the Stanley Cup playoffs do you see a 7-6 hockey game. Like, rarely. They're 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. That's usually what you see. Right? And it's just, he made another point, Babs did last night, that I found interesting. And this comes back to there's a lot of the same skilled player on this team. Like, these guys, like Matthews and Marner and Nylander in particular, have gone their whole career just being naturally gifted and excelling. So now you're in a point where you're in the National Hockey League and you're sort of learning that, like, just going out there and scoring goals, you're not going to win games that way. And all these guys are young and they're all learning that lesson at the same time, and it's resulting in growing pains. And I'm taking us in the, tonight I've just decided, Ryan, I'm driving the truck to hot take town. Did we overestimate this team's chance? Like, were we way off at the beginning of the season when we're like, this is a cup contending hockey team?
Yeah, well, now it seems like it. I don't think I was at the cup contending point with this team, but the way they acted in the offseason and the way they signed all their big stars after their restricted free agency, that's what you expect. That's what the expectations were. And now it kind of looks ridiculous because I don't think they can beat all the good hockey teams in this league.
So what do they need to do, Ryan? Let's take it out of negative town. What do they need to do?
I don't know. There's a lot of things they can... Dude, there's a lot of things they can do in-game.
Just throws his hands up.
There's a lot of things they can do in-game to be better. They could have a better penalty kill when they're stuck in their own zone. They could convert
on the
power
giving up so many
play.
Shots.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And I was the guy who's beating the drum to get Matthews and Marner on their one-time sides, but that clearly hasn't worked either.
That's the thing about last night. It's like, yeah, you know what? They battled back in overtime, but it's like, well, they have 7-8 power plays and they got one goal. Like, that's brutal.
Yeah, it's awful.
Although, you know what? I'm looking at it here and their power play is ranked 16th in the league. That's higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and even last year too. Like, we always harped on how bad the power play was, but if you compare it to the rest of the league, they didn't do too bad, but again, it goes back to the amount of talent that's on the power play. And it's like, okay, Tampa Bay, if you were to rank Tampa Bay's top players against the Leafs' top players, you'd be like, okay, like player for player, they're equally kind of skilled. But for some reason, this group of players on the Leafs can't figure it out on the power play and can't make it a like dangerous weapon where if you take a penalty against them, like it's trouble, like the Bruins do, like the Lightning do. And that's the difference between a team that finishes first in their division and a team that finishes third or in a wild card spot is having a dangerous power play like that with all the talent you have. So that's another thing that happened. Look how many power plays they had last night or against the Capitals. They had 100 power plays and just nothing happened.
That's what I was just saying. That's what I was just saying, man. They it's... That is what takes it out of you. I was like, they had a good third, and they did. But it's like, they should have been up. They should have scored 5-6 goals last night.
Yeah, it's a bear. It's awful.
What do you think of Tyson Barrie?
It's been terrible.
Why?
I don't know. And this is a guy who, like, oh, he's going into contract years. He's looking for $7 million. Yeah, he's not going to get it after this.
Ray Ferraro was talking about him a lot in the broadcast last night and how the Leafs system has kind of neutered him and he's not able to like freewheel like he was in Colorado. And like, I guess, but he, as long as Riley's here, he's not going to get on the first power play. I don't know. He's got to kind of figure it out. Like this is a thing that like he and Babs are going to have to work together to figure this out because he has been pretty terrible.
Yeah. And for a guy who's supposed to be an offensive defenseman and we always got on Gardner, but Gardner was kind of a 50-point guy. Like, that's pretty good for a defenseman in this league. This guy didn't see a point for like 12 games. -5. It's been disappointing. And like, going into a contract year, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, he struggled. He struggled to start the season, that's for sure. Definitely expected more out of him. Speaking of the defense, my heart stopped a little last night when Jake Muzzin went off the ice. Babs was saying today that it's not that serious, but he could miss a game or two, which I guess, all things considered, is pretty good. Another thing he said on the injury front that I found really interesting is that he expects Tavares back before Hyman. But when you really think about it, Hyman blew his ACL. That's a brutal injury, man.
Yeah, it's a terrible injury, and it's like, are you going to rush him back now? Like, yeah, like, it's kind of like, you really need this guy. Like, that's...
Yeah, right? Like, this stretch has really, like highlighted his value. Like, he's one of the only guys who brings that element that we're talking about that this team sorely misses. But yeah, I just like just to bring it back full circle because we kind of got off the rails there. I've been thinking a lot lately during this stretch about Kyle Dubas and like obviously this is his philosophy, so he's going to double down on it. And yes, Mike Babcock is not his coach, and maybe Babcock isn't coaching the team in the way that he envisioned it or whatever, but the cap problems and this team's lack of toughness, grit, sandpaper, truculence, as Berkey would say, that's directly on Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, 100%. And
he's 100% at fault for
that. All the egregious money that got handed out is on him too. Like, don't forget about that. Like, we always get on the coach, and like, I'm not going to let the coach off here, because a lot of the stuff he does it drives me nuts. And you've heard me say that a million times.
Well, yeah, that my point was, let's take a break from ragging on him, because he takes more than his fair share of heat from us.
Blame goes all around. Goes all around right now.
Not excluding Brendan Shanahan.
I know, and it's like, hopefully, like, it isn't the end of the world, but I keep preaching, it's not the record, it's not the points, it's not the playoff standings. Even though if they miss the playoffs, that'd be unacceptable. But it's the way they lose hockey games, and the way they play on a nightly basis, and the way other teams control them very easily, that makes me come on here and not feel good and not say nice things about this team, because I just don't see it, the way they get dominated sometimes. And not for a whole game, but for a stretch of a period, like that second period yesterday.
Oh,
dummied.
Yeah, that was, oh yeah. Yeah. No, nothing was worse. It's been years since I was as angry as I was on Saturday night.
Oh yeah, they were awful.
Against the Habs. Yeah, like I haven't been that angry watching the Leafs in a long, long time. Probably the last time I was that angry watching the Leafs was the Peter Horachuk season.
Yeah, but that was a joke.
Yeah, I know, but Saturday night was a joke.
Saturday night,
Ryan,
was a joke. It was awful.
It was embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And it's, look at the Montreal Canadiens on paper, okay? The skilled NHL league, where if you have skilled players, you're going to win. Look at the Canadiens roster. It's like, yeah, there's some pretty good hockey players on there. But it's not the Maple Leafs roster when it comes to talent. And it's just, you watching on Saturday night, it's like you would have no idea. Every Canadian player looks like a legend out there. It's like, what are we doing?
I know what you and I are doing, Ryan. Bum and beauty. Hit the music.
It's time to find out who's a bum and who's a beauty. Take it away, buds.
That's right, bum and beauty of the week. Ryan, I go first all the time, so I'm giving it to you. You go first. What, bum or beauty?
Bum or beauty. My bum of the week is William Nylander.
Oh, I thought he was pretty good last night.
Dude.
I thought he was pretty good last night. Right. Marner being as awful as he is has completely, I don't even notice how bad Nylander is, because I'm just so focused on Marner.
Rob, I'm sorry to everyone out there who's a Nylander fan. I'm really, really, really sorry. But this guy, man, like, you're never going to win anything with this guy in your top six. I am sorry. Unless you put him on the Bruins. But his as a piece for this hockey team, he just drives me crazy, man. Like, I don't know if I'm just being unfair to him, but the way I like a hockey player to be, he is the complete opposite of. Complete opposite.
I know. You have made that abundantly clear.
I can't stand watching him play hockey. Unless William Nylander scores a goal in any point of the game, then he kind of starts to ramp up and starts to play like the player I want him to play like. But if it's not going for him offensively, especially in the goal scoring department, brutal, man. Just one of the softest hockey players I've ever laid my eyes on. And I'm tired of it. And I will never, come on here and change my mind about him. He can go on a tear for a week and be the number one star in the league. And I've made my mind up on him, man. I don't like watching him play hockey on a night-to-night basis. He drives me crazy.
Two-pack bum of the week for me. Mitch Marner is the first one. We talked about it earlier. He's in his head about his contract. He's got to be better. He's got to figure it out and just be more effective. And my other one, we also talked about earlier, Tyson Barrie. Like, I guess he's having a hard time adjusting to the new system or being in a new place or whatever, but it's like, you said it, you're in a contract year, bud. Like, you're in the top four. He hit Matthews with that beauty pass last night, and that was pretty. So tip of the hat to him, but just overall, he's got to be better. We traded Nazem Kadri, who's lighting it up with the Avalanche right now, to get him back. So Tyson Barrie, figure it out, bud. You're in the doghouse this week. Ryan, who's your beauty of the
week? Beauty of the week is Ilya Mikheyev.
Oh, again? That's the second time for you this year.
I can't. Like, again, like, I'm going to defer to the guys who I enjoy watching play. And the fact that this is guy's first year in the NHL and he's arguably the Leafs' best player every night is amazing to me. Like, we talk about all the guys they've brought in before, the Borgmans, the Zaitsevs, all those guys. This guy impresses the hell out of me. And he's already probably their best penalty killer up there with Mitch Marner, and he's got 10 points in 14 games just starting in this league. He's bumped up to the top six when he has to be. I love this guy. I love watching him play. Like, he's my beauty of the week. He's my beauty of, in terms of guys who give it their all every night and actually, it seems like he has a breakaway every game. Like, I really enjoy watching the kid play hockey.
I'm going to follow suit and pick a guy who I've already picked, and that's Justin Holl. He's my beauty of the week. Last night, Muzzin leaves with an injury, and Holl has to step up and play some more minutes, and I thought he looked really good. I just like him. He's a solid presence back there. He never makes me nervous when he's out there. I think he stepped in really nicely. Now that Dermott's back, there's no need for us to see Marty Marincin ever again. I like him a lot. And you know what? He persevered. I said it last week. I think it was last week or the week before it was my beauty of the week. But he persevered through sitting 70 games in the press box last year. And I just like him, man. I really, really like him. And he got put in the pressure cooker last night. And he stepped up. And I thought he played really well. So Justin Holl, beauty of the week again for me. Now, Saturday night. So they've had a tough schedule, and it's going to ease up here a little bit. They've got the Flyers, who aren't very good, on Saturday night in Philly. Then Tuesday, they've got the god-awful Los Angeles Kings at Scotiabank Arena. And then after that, they've got the Vegas Golden Knights next Thursday. So the Golden Knights are pretty good, and then Philly again after that the following Saturday. So the schedule's easing up a bit here. They should be able to rack up some wins here, Ryan. Thoughts on the upcoming games?
I just, at this point, if they're playing a team that's god-awful, they should get a victory based on what I've seen this season. And if they play a team that's expected to make the playoffs and knows how to play, they're going to struggle. They might win the game, but it's going to be a struggle. So hopefully we can come on next week and it's going to be more positive. It's becoming tough coming on here, and we're broken records. Like, we're trying to switch it up.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I come on here and say the same thing every week.
I know.
But it's like, what else are we going
to
say?
I know, unless we did like it's a week to week. Like, there's a lot that goes on in a week, and there's a week also, guys, goes by really quickly. So hopefully it's more positive.
I love what you said earlier. What did you say earlier about how like half the fan base is like hot takes and the other half is...
Yeah, half the fan base is, this team isn't going anywhere. They're awful. They're too soft. This group of players don't work. And then the other half is, well, maybe if the penalty kill gets better, maybe if the power play gets better, maybe if there's more 5-on-5 production from Marner, maybe if...
When they get healthy. That's yeah. another thing, man. They've had some injury trouble this year.
So it's like pick a side or be in the middle. Like right now, I feel like I'm.
I feel like we're in the middle, hinging on hot.
I feel
take.
Like I'm more on the hot take side right now, and I hate to say it, and it's there's because those things could get a lot better, and they could start winning games off it. But when it really comes down to it in April, or when it's time to be a big boy. I just don't think they're going to be able to do those things well enough to beat really good teams in this league. So that's what pushes me over kind of the hot take side.
Well, as you said, hopefully next week we can come on here and they've racked up a couple W's and we can feel a little better. They're 6-5-3. It's not awful. Third in the Atlantic. But we expect more. And hopefully that's where they trend going forward. Once again, everybody, thank you very much for downloading this week. We really appreciate it. Seen a little jump in our numbers the last couple weeks. So we thank you, everyone who's spreading the word. We really, really appreciate it. We love doing the show. I say that every week, but it's true. Thanks again for downloading, guys, and we will catch you next week.
You looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.